Hi, we're looking at the next session of the module Heavenly Realms. And we've been looking at the different realms of heaven, where they are, the geography of heaven, if you like. One of the major aspects of the Heavenly Realms is its governmental perspective. When we see from heaven, we're seeing from a kingdom governmental perspective. There are different levels of governmental authority relating to the different realms. Our mountains and our thrones, where we're seated in heavenly places, are positions of governmental authority that are in those different realms. The different court system of heaven functions in different realms, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, heaven, heaven of heavens. And we have access to engage those when we have access to the different realms through maturity. Zechariah 3:7 is the process of maturity. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, that's what we do here in this realm. If you will perform my service, that's what we do in lordship under his kingship. Then you will also begin to govern my house, also have charge of the courts. That's when we begin to function in kingship. And I will grant you free access among these who are standing here, full mature sons, operating in the assemblies and councils of God. Heaven itself is patterned after the tabernacle. We have an outer court, inner court, holy holies. And we see when we walk in the kingdom of earth in his ways, we access through the veil, the way into the outer court, kingdom of God, where we begin to perform his service, and then we start to rule or govern. Now, initially, it's our own house, our own life. If we're not governing our house, we're not going to have any greater authority to govern anything else. But as we mature and we come into kingship, then we begin to have charge of the courts, and there are different courts in the realm of kingdom of heaven, and then there are different courts in the realm of heaven itself. And when, as we mature through the veil of the life, we come into sonship, and have free access to stand even amongst those in the heavenly heavens. So of all the heavenly realms that can be accessed by invitation to observe, initially I saw a lot of things through observation. Jesus took me there. I didn't know where they were particularly, but I saw things, how they're functioning. And then I began to participate as I matured. And we can all do that through different levels of authority. Of course, we're all part of God's family. Therefore, we're all sons of God. And as in a natural family, there are babies, infants, toddlers, teenagers, perish the thought, and adults, of course. And we all want to become mature adults, taking responsibility for our sonship positions. Now, I found that when I engaged these things, Jesus took me to engage with wisdom. And it says in Proverbs 8:15, talking about wisdom, I, wisdom, empower kings to reign and rulers to make laws that are just, and that's really important, we make just, righteous laws. I empower princes to rise and take dominion and nobles to govern the earth. So there are different functions, four different types of authority, four different functions of authority that we will learn to participate in as we mature. And wisdom was very, very helpful in my process of maturing. So one of the key places, both for access in different realms and for training, is wisdom's heights. And as I began to engage with wisdom on her heights, I found it a very interesting place. First of all, I was captivated by wisdom, looking deep into her eyes, conversing, learning to converse and understand. And so I began to engage wisdom there herself. I engage with wisdom's pillars that are there, seven pillars. Those pillars are designed to help us mature in blueprints and mandates and perhaps court cases. There are different functions of each pillar. Engage dimensional doorways. When you're there, I found four doorways at least to access other dimensions. There are ancient paths where the paths meet and by the way. So there's access there into the timeline of our lives. Access to the through the gates to Zion, the city of God. So let's look at some descriptions of what wisdom does and what she says. Proverbs 8:1. Does not wisdom call? So wisdom's active. She's not passive. She's calling and she's releasing a frequency, a sound that's calling sons to come. And understanding lift up her voice on the top of the heights beside the way. Now you'll find that there are different angelic beings and other beings who function with wisdom in this place, understanding being one of them. On the top of the heights. So this is the top of the heights, the top of the kingdom of God realm. And it has access into heaven itself. So the kingdom of heaven and the top of that realm, which is why it's called the heights, is where wisdom's heights are, where the pathways meet. She takes her stand. So she's functioning there. Beside the gates, at the opening to the city, so there are gates, there's the opening to the city. At the entrance of the doors, so there are doors also, she cries out and she's calling for us. Proverbs 9 verse 3, 1 to 3, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has prepared her food. She has mixed her wine. She has set her table. She has sent out her handmaidens. She calls from the top of the heights of the city. So she wants us to come. She wants us to come and engage with her. She has things prepared for us, things that will enable us to begin to mature in our sonship. Proverbs 8:12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Now again, prudence is another angel. I find knowledge and discretion. Counsel is mine, sound wisdom. I am understanding, power is mine. Verse 31. Rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight to the sons of men, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. So this is a very active place of engagement in our process of maturity in sonship, if we choose to engage there. So I found that in the realm of the kingdom of heaven, you have the court of chancellors, the court of scribes, and that's where I had a mountain throne for ruling in kingship. I didn't access this realm other than to observe until I was operating in kingship. I wasn't able to function in those courts until I operated in kingship. And there's wisdom's heights. So here, it's the heavenly realms, wisdom's heights. Access into the city, four doorways, one into the stars, one under the earth, one into the atmosphere, one into the earth. So I found that in wisdom's heights, you had these access places to the different courts. You had access to engage so that we could learn how to reign, to make laws, to rule, and to judge. And we could then access into the city of Zion, where we could access the court of kings and the court of the fathers. So wisdom took me to these places. There's also a training hall there where the seven spirits of God operate in training us for maturity. So all these things were accessible. Now, I didn't understand them all to begin with, but as I pursued, as I continued to engage, and I found this was a very useful place for accessing other dimensions. And it relates to the different heavenly court system where those realms are. Court of Chancellors, Court of Scribes particularly, I learned to function there. And I learned that when I produced some laws in the Court of Kings, I could take them to the Court of Chancellors for authorization, for sealing, and then to the Court of Scribes to get them written into the records. So Proverbs 8:2, the paths meet, the way. So this is a description of access points, of paths to walk on, of places of engagement that we can access from there. Wisdom's heights is where the paths meet and where the way is. Jeremiah 6:16, ancient paths of access. Psalm 23:3, paths of righteousness. Psalm 139:24, the everlasting way. These are all sort of descriptions of what I found was useful when I began to engage wisdom's heights, to begin to function from that place and to begin to access some of these paths and walk on them and discover what they were and how they helped. And Isaiah 35:8, the highway of holiness. It talks about the highway of holiness. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient paths. So here's something you can do on wisdom's heights. You can ask wisdom to show you different ways, different paths, and where they lead and where they will help, where the good way is, and walk in it. Now, really, the good way is God's destiny for us. But when we begin to discover who we are, we'll begin to find out that you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it, sadly. So when you're walking in your destiny, you will find your soul is totally at rest. Jeremiah 18:15. For my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless gods, and they have stumbled from their ways, from the ancient paths, to walk in bypaths, not on a highway. So we can choose to walk our own way, but we won't find that on wisdom's heights. We will find access to find our way, for our life, our destiny, and some of the ancient paths that leads us into things that God has prepared for us. Proverbs 8:12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I find knowledge in discretion. Now, this was a very key thing for me because I engaged an angel called Prudence. I was actually in one of our worship times and Prudence came up to me. And someone saw her in the spirit and painted the picture. And Prudence gave me some specific tools to help on my journey with wisdom in discovering the courts and navigating through the different courts and the different things in the realms of heaven. So engage Prudence and her gifts to open the revelation of the 12th house. This is what God said to me. Now, I didn't understand the 12 houses at that point, but I engaged Prudence and she gave me her gifts. The seven gifts will enable you to navigate the dimensions that will be opened. Now, this was really, really cool at the time. I didn't know what they were, but I was intrigued to find out. I was given a sextant, a compass, logbooks, maps, instruments for wind, sound, and waves, light, and the trumpet to herald the call. And these are seven things that I was given. Now, it's not like I take a sextant out or a compass or logbook specifically, but I place these gifts within me and then they begin to equip me and help me when I need to access different realms in heaven. Prudence, you know, I think will engage with all of us. And this is what God said to me. Son, I'm calling you to a new level of government authority. It is time to come near to me and the heights of wisdom will be opened. I have given you the strategic instruments to plot the course ahead. My scroll has a large ship on it that was at anchor but is now moving. So when I first saw my scroll, I saw almost like a cover page to it, which had a large ship. And there were various things on this large ship which have become significant to me as I've journeyed on this journey of discovery. And, you know, the ship is now moving, signifying that I'm actually traveling and moving in different dimensions, but also in earth as well as heaven. Prudence will partner with you to create the protocols that will open the doors and release my people into their positions of true heavenly authority. A new quest is your reward for faithfulness. Engage the waterfall and your quest will be revealed. So this was part of my journey that unveiled various things that God called me to do on my process. So I had this vision when I first started to engage this and I started to engage wisdom. I started to have visions and was taken into dimensional things that opened up revelation or began a process. So I had a vision where I was engulfed in flames. Now I'd been to the fire stones. I had had encounters where being immersed in fire, I'd been on the altars. But this was a very significant engagement. And I was given a large staff with a golden headpiece by wisdom. This staff, I found, gave me access to something. And the golden headpiece was actually the seal that I was given as a chancellor. And I could place it on the staff and use it, a bit like in Indiana Jones. So I went to the heights of Proverbs 8 and I met with wisdom and I began to engage some of the doorways there. And I was taken to a second door and it opened and I walked into a place of flames. Now I didn't know where this was, but it seemed quite a challenging place. But I did walk with wisdom and I discovered I was walking into the dimension of under the earth, as it's known. And I walked down a pathway through this tunnel of fire, stood before this huge door, which was guarded by a Balrog looking like creature. It was like, again, Lord of the Rings, when Gandalf was fighting with Balrog. And I remembered he used his staff and banged it into the ground and said, you shall not pass. Well, that came to mind when I was standing there. And so I slammed the staff into the ground and I declared the door to be open. And the door opened and I went into what I now know was Satan's trophy room. This was my first engagement there. And it was such a sad feeling place. It was oppressive in a sense. Now I saw people's destinies are there displayed as trophies. because they've not yet discovered them. And Satan is deceiving them, blinding them from the truth of who they are in Christ and the fact that that Christ is in them, looking to unveil himself and reveal the light, but they're blinded to that light. There are lost mantles, which are displayed as trophies, where people have lost their mantles through falling into sin and various things. Lost anointings, forfeited through sin, are displayed there as trophies, which is again sad. That people have lost those things, but those mantles, I think, can be picked up. Now, one of the significant areas was, at this point, was an area called family inheritances. The legacies that belong to you are trophies there. And I was moved by this. I was disturbed by it. I was looking at this whole area. And I was talking to Wisdom about it, and I really felt I want those inheritance back. I want that legacy. I want what should have come through my family line if they had passed on something good. And I wanted a mandate to recover and restore family destiny and legacies. Now, I thought, and this was my own thinking, that this was perhaps all going to be rolled up into one generation where everything that's lost is going to be restored and recovered. Now, I believe that is true, but not quite the way I now experience it. So now I realize that we can help recover people, not just what they lost. But this was a very significant encounter, and I first engaged it. And so the memory of our family inheritance may have been stolen and lost. Sins of the fathers visited a third and fourth generation. But I believe we can remove all legal rights and recover our family legacies and destiny. Now, I just thought this was going to be imparted. I didn't really understand the nature that this under the earth and Satan's trophy room was also a door into what I now call the consuming fire of God's love, where people who have not yet accepted Jesus go for purification and refining until they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And therefore, you know, I've been there now. Jesus took me back to this place and opened up the door so I could go in and preach good news to my generational lines. And I've done that numerous times and seen so many bow the knee, confess Jesus as Lord, and come out to be then part of the cloud of witnesses to be trained. Now, I believe we can stop the cycle of robbery and we can get back what's been robbed from us. But also we can restore those of our generational line by releasing forgiveness to them and preaching the good news to them. But what I discovered was the things that were still affecting me from those generational lines limited the effectiveness I had to preach the good news there. So as I engaged the altar and dealt with some of those things, the iniquity that had been passed on, as I took communion and began to deal with some of the things that were my, it gave me more authority to preach the good news and demonstrate the kingdom of God there. But my initial encounter was with Wisdom. This was back in 2012. And God said, if you pursue Wisdom faithfully and diligently, her rewards will be great. Access to the ancient paths, ancient doors, and to ancient knowledge will be released. Now, I only imagined what that could have been back in those days, but now, having received some of that access and some of that knowledge, I realized it was way more than I could have imagined or thought. The portals will be opened, and travel in time and space will have an important part to play in establishing the arcs, places of refuge that will be needed for the time ahead. Again, no idea what that meant at the time, but I have pursued it, and I found that I have been able to travel in time and space, and I found that portals have been opened. So you see, if you take something that God says, even though you don't understand it, and you nurture it in your heart, it will create a desire that will enable you to pursue it, no matter what the cost. And so, you know, when God said this, you know, back in 2012, I didn't really have a perspective of what it meant, but I pursued and I cherished it and I nurtured it and eventually found that I could travel in time and space and I could create realities from those dimensional perspectives. And those things are going to be needed when we establish embassies of heaven on earth, when we start to raise up ecclesias, we're going to need them. And we're in that time where we're beginning to see those things unveiled. So I went to the place on the heights where the past met. Wisdom was standing there holding up a scales. And she said, there is a time of being weighed that is coming, you must judge and exercise judicial authority using scales of justice. Now, if we're going to make judgments and we're going to use the scales of justice, we must do it out of love. We cannot use our position there to execute vengeance or revenge. This is to minister and make judgments in love for life, not death. It's absolutely important to know that. And when we're using the court system, when we're doing those things, to operate in love, to operate in forgiveness, to operate, you know, with the kingdom governmental perspectives of heaven, not like the earthly perspectives. Time of fiery judgment testing in not compromising will bring the presence of the Lord and release blessing and prospering. Now, I went through this when I went through the dark cloud in 2012, when I engaged the process of separating soul and spirit, when I was tested by fire. All these things are things we go through, maybe in different ways, but to bring us into a level of maturity and sonship. So I was also, when I was from Wisdom Sites, I was taken out into the sun, you know, as the brightest body in our solar system. And it was an amazing experience. I went through it. I felt its heat and flow. But then, as if by comparison, I was invited to step into the light, the true light. And so what God was showing me was, this is the best the natural created light has to offer. But when you step into the true light, everything pales into insignificance. The brilliance and radiance was like the sun to a candle flame. So the sun was like a candle flame to the brilliance and radiance of the light. Now, of course, we're supposed to arise and shine because our light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us, and creation will be set free from its bondage to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. So God started to talk to me about excitation, what it felt like each particle of my being was being irradiated, bombarded with both waves and particles of pure light. I started to pulsate, vibrate with energy from that light. I felt like love particles excited and energized my whole being. Now, again, I didn't understand the connection between love and light. God is love, God is light. So there's an absolute connection, and the essence of God being love, I began to experience it in this encounter. Now, this was all preparatory. You know, I didn't know what was going on, but it set something up in me which caused me to pursue. Now, this whole last year, God has been speaking about love's light and the light of love. And he's revisited that whole thing as I've engaged God over the last 2 or 3 years in a deeper level of love. First time I engaged the fire stones and stepped on that first stone, first step, it was like awesome love, you know. But that was the beginning of a journey that will never end, going deeper and deeper into the depths of God's love and passion. So some of these experiences I had there, I realize now looking back, were deeply, profoundly preparatory for where I am now and set me out on a journey to pursue this. But it was an amazing encounter. I was then taken to a place where there was a total absence of light. Now, I'd been there before. Once I had a vision of this place back in, I think, 2008. And I went in there. I was tricked into going in there into a vision. And it was so hopeless and oppressive, I immediately backed out. But in this encounter, I was taken to this place where there was an absence of light. It felt so cold, lifeless, hopeless. But I knew in my spirit that all was not lost. I could still feel potential. Now, at the point when I went in there before, I was so frightened because I didn't know the depths of God's love like I could do now and what I did when I encountered this, that I backed out feeling it was hopeless. But this again was the first inkling that all is not lost for those who physically die after without knowing Jesus and discovering, as I have now, that death is not the end of choice. These were my first encounters that began to opening that potential up and possibility. Then it was like all the energy stored was released and radiated from me to bring warmth, and everything that was dormant started to blossom and bloom, and life was restored because the love energy was released as light. Now, again, I had no idea what that really meant, other than, okay, I've experienced light and love's light at a deeper level, and now that is in me, that is going to be radiated. And you could see this in lots of different ways, radiated as light into creation, being light of the world as we're here. But I now know that this was about bringing life back into that place where there was hopelessness, where love, God's fire of love is purifying and refining and preparing people so that they can still accept the good news that God loves them and that Jesus died for them and that they're God's children. So I realized that what I've now seen as people coming out of there was like this experience I had there, where everything that was there began to blossom and bloom because life was restored. So these were awesome encounters that I had on Wisdom's Heights in those days. So again, looking at Wisdom, it talks about chapter 9, she sent out her handmaidens. So she calls. So there's something about Wisdom's handmaidens. Who are they? What are they to do? Well, they're obviously beings. And there are a number of them. Glory is one of them, and you can read about that 1 Peter 4:14. Holiness, Romans 1:4. Truth, John 16:13. Excellence, Daniel 5:12. Faith, 2 Corinthians 4:14. Life, Revelation 11:11. Promise, Ephesians 1:13. Now, again, all these are help. They're there to help. They're there to help Wisdom. They're there to, in a sense, impart to us, to unveil glory, holiness, truth, excellence, faith, life, promise, so that we'll see that these are not just concepts, but things that we experience and things we get deeper into, and they begin to be life-changing and life-transformatory as we mature in sonship. Because if we're going to set creation free into our glory, then we need to understand what our glory is, our identity as sons, our holiness, living a life which is representative of the nature and character of God, which is love. Again, truth, the spirit of truth, bringing us into Jesus, the truth. Excellence, where we begin to realize that we are destined to be prosperous and successful in all that we're called to do, that is being blessed. Obviously, faith, life, promise. Each of these things carry with them things that we can experience. Proverbs 4:5, another scripture about wisdom. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. She will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Now, these are descriptions of some of the things that we do when we engage wisdom and we begin to mature in our sonship. They are poetic descriptions of things, but actually the key is here to love wisdom. Now, we don't need to be afraid of offending God, Father, if we love wisdom, because God has called us into this relationship in which wisdom works with us as sons of God. So then we will begin to understand how to reign, how to rule, how to bring justice, how to operate in righteousness. You know, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me will find me. So set your heart upon engaging wisdom and Wisdom's Heights. So we're going to engage that. We're going to engage with wisdom. We're going to go to her heights. We're going to ask her to help. And I would encourage you to begin this process. You may have done this lots of times before. Maybe you've not engaged all the things that are on Wisdom's Heights. Maybe not in all the seven pillars, or maybe not through all the different doors that are there, or not engaging those ancient paths. We also look to engage the seven spirits of God, who will help us in our positions of authority. The training room can be accessed from Wisdom's Heights, which we can then sign up for that. So it's really important, a place that I would encourage you to pursue in engage with wisdom's handmaidens, engage with prudence, ask for those navigation instruments so that you can follow the paths that have been set for you to walk in those realms. So wisdom's heights, the four doors, there may be more, but I've discovered certainly the four: access to engage that training hall, wisdom to understand how to use the Chancellor's Court, the Court of Scribes, and various things. So I went to my mountain, and the throne was mobile. I'd never been mobile before, and it went up to the hall of revelation like a training center. Yeah. And wisdom encourages us as sons to enroll in the courses that will bring revelation of the position of each of the seven spirits in their official duties, and to engage certain men in white linen who are our governors assigned to our mantle. So who we are, God has assigned those to help us and to tutor us and to train us. So I would encourage you to begin to think about engaging that realm. As we have before, maybe you just want to shift your consciousness to engage that realm. Perhaps you just want to think about Jacob's ladder and the open door and step into that realm. We know Jesus is always going to be waiting for us. But today, as we engage with Jesus, and I would just encourage you, take that step. Engage your spirit, your soul, to step into that realm and to meet with Jesus, who's standing waiting for us to engage us. And I'm going to ask that Jesus would begin to connect us to wisdom. Wisdom is calling. So I want you to hear the frequency of her call, calling you to come and engage her. So just hear the frequency of wisdom's call. Wisdom is calling to the sons of men to come and be tutored and trained as lords and kings and sons. Hear the frequency of wisdom's call as she calls from the heights, calling you to come to her heights to engage her. Let this resonate with your spirit, with your soul. Embrace the call. Let this frequency resonate with you, inspiring you, drawing you, wooing you to come and engage wisdom's height. Set the desire of your heart upon it. Jesus, I just ask that you will take people through the veils to engage on wisdom's heights. And as you come to wisdom's heights, yeah, just look around. Begin to familiarize yourself. And Jesus, introduce each person to wisdom. And as you engage wisdom, standing by her pillars, just look deeply into her, the beauty of her eyes, the depths of wisdom that's there. And just begin to engage with wisdom. Just begin to allow wisdom to engage with you. Just open up your heart, open up your spirit to the revelation that will be unveiled as you begin to engage with wisdom herself. So just spend some time engaging with her, embracing, unveiling that truth that she has for you. Thank you. wisdom begin to take you deeper. To show you her pillars, the doors, the gateway into Zion. And just ask her to open one of those doors so you can step through, perhaps under the earth or into the atmosphere or into the earth realm or into the stars. There's so much more to be discovered here. Just allow her to take you out into those dimensional places so that you can begin to learn to pursue and discover the adventures that are there available for us to engage with. There is so much more. Just be open to where she leads you. Thank you. I would encourage you to pursue engaging with wisdom's heights, engaging with wisdom on a daily basis. Pursue stepping through those doors, engaging with the training hall. Ask wisdom to take you to the training hall to see if there are things you can sign up for to be equipped by the seven spirits of God. There are so many possibilities that exist when you can engage in this place, in this realm, which will open you up in preparation as it prepared me. I believe that it will be preparatory for each of you if you willingly pursue and engage it.